Welcome to Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. I'm Greg.
And I'm Erin. We've been married for 31 years. We're marriage counselors, and we lead the marriage team here at Focus on the Family. Greg, today I'm so excited because we're continuing the conversation with Deborah Falada about the different seasons of marriage.
Yeah, I mean, really, every couple, we all go through good times and we're going to have challenging times. You know, I remember for us when I was in graduate school working on my doctorate, so we were in Southern California at Biola University. Remember, it was just a hard season. Mm-hmm. We had a very young daughter. Mm-hmm. You were working full time as a labor and delivery nurse. Mm-hmm. And with school and just everything else. I think that not only were we kind of disconnected, but mm-hmm. It just felt like there were a lot of conflicts that we were just poorly managing.
Well, and we were really into marriage, 2 years? And those were some hard years. And I can remember this incident that happened.
Yeah. We had just gotten an alarm system installed because I was doing some traveling. You didn't feel safe, so you wanted an alarm. And it came with a silent alarm that could be activated, you know, if someone was in the house. And so you were asking me how to set that because we were going to have a house guest, you know, stay over for a few days. And you were trying to teach them how to set the alarm. And I wasn't really listening to you, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And you were going, hey, is this right? Do I tell them this code? Because I think we were able to set an alternate code for a house guest.
Yeah, so they something could like that.
Deactivate the alarm when mm-hmm. needed. But it actually was the code to activate the silent alarm. Mm-hmm. And so as you're going, hey, is it this number? I'm like, yeah, that's great. Well, you end up actually activating the silent alarm to where I came down because I was hearing noise.
There's a knock at the door, and I open the door, and it's the LAPD. And they asked me to step outside because they thought that I had activated the silent alarm because someone was inside. So I stepped outside, and I'm like terrified because I thought I was going to get arrested. And you come out, and I'm like,
well, remember, I hear noise, and I'm yelling out for you, and I'm irritated because why aren't you answering me? So I come down to find the front door wide open. And so I'm trying to figure out what is going on. And so I step out of the front door to be told by people holding flashlights and apparently a gun, mm-hmm. you know, step out, let me see your hands, that kind of thing.
Well, they even took you
right
and pulled you into the driveway to interview you to make sure you were, in fact, my husband.
Oh my gosh.
And that you weren't an intruder.
So that was the pinnacle of a very hard season.
Mm, yeah.
Of almost getting arrested.
Like I physically can feel it inside.
Because I was really nervous because I know we'd had some real challenging times. I'm hoping that you're not going to tell the police, no, yeah, arrest that guy. I don't know that guy. Take him into custody.
Maybe I should have.
Yeah, you didn't. Well, we've got some great segments coming up. Later on, we're going to hear a devotion from Bill Arbuckle on connection. How do we grow closer together, deepen our intimacy? We'll also hear a question from one of our listeners, and this person wants to know, how can she enjoy her marriage when she's having trouble even liking her spouse? Mm-hmm. Kind of like you felt way back in those early years.
In that moment, yes. But first, we're going to hear from Deborah Falada about the next 2 seasons couples will go through. She's an author and speaker with some amazing insights. So let's listen to the conversation we had with Deborah. So, Deborah, we talked about last time, spring and summer, and you talk about how true colors come out in fall. So how have you and John experienced true colors coming out in fall?
Oh, man. It's laughable because when I was in the season of spring, you know, early on in our relationship, I saw everything through rose-colored lenses. Like, I remember taking our marriage counseling before we got married, and the counselor kind of pulled me aside, and he's like, Deb, you really have a optimistic view of marriage, borderline idealistic. And I was like, well, I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, this guy is amazing. Well, fast forward 16 years later, and I could give you a list of everything that he's not amazing in.
But we only have a short amount of time, so probably not
exactly.
Go there. Yeah.
Exactly. But that's the beauty of the seasons of a relationship, is that you get to reveal who you really are. Not that that wasn't who he really was, but it wasn't the full picture. Mm-hmm. Because time reveals so much. And I do believe that fall is the season of conflict. Because fall is when your true colors start to shine through and the leaves fall and there's nowhere left to hide. It's like, okay, you see it all. This is who I am, the good, the bad, the ugly, the strengths and the struggles. But I think the beauty of fall, specifically in marriage, is being able to bear it all. This is who I really am. And still be loved and accepted.
Yes.
You know, I think that's the most beautiful part. Not saying that I love you so much that I don't want you to change, but more of I love you so much, I'm here, and let's change together. Let's heal together. Let's work on this together. So fall is that season of being honest with each other and allowing ourselves to be vulnerable and allow our true colors to shine through.
And I love what you're saying, because that really showing your true colors, we always say that the biggest risk in any relationship, but especially marriage, is wanting to be so deeply known, to be seen, you know, showing your true colors. But always the risk is that, boy, when I really let Erin see all of that, what is she going to do with that? How will she handle my heart? So to risk that level of vulnerability you're talking about, people really need to feel safe. How do you encourage that person who's listening, going, man, I'd love to show my true colors, but man, you know, I'm just not sure I feel safe enough to do that. How can they really create a marriage that feels really safe?
Well, I think you back up to the season of summer and you realize, you know what, maybe we need to spend some time developing our emotional and our spiritual intimacy and to really invest in what could that look like for us to take the next level, to be intentional there. Because I do believe when you set yourself up right with intimacy, vulnerability comes naturally. Hmm. It's so much easier when you feel like you've laid the groundwork, the foundation of intimacy, to be able to be honest. But I also want to remind you that sometimes those fears are not fears because of the relationship. They're actually fears that we carry from the past. Mm-hmm. Maybe we have rejection wounds from our childhood or abandonment. Maybe we've been hurt.
Yeah, trauma, mm-hmm. Whatever.
We trusted somebody and they hurt us. And so we transfer some of those things onto our spouse. It's like, well, I don't know if I can really trust them. I don't want to get hurt again, and not realizing that sometimes it is about our marriage, but sometimes it's about things we need to deal with from our past that are holding us back. Mm.
So what are some clear signs that a couple is in that winter season of marriage?
Yeah. You know, when you think of winter, you think of ice cold, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know about you all, but here in Pennsylvania, it does get cold, and that's kind of what we think about in winter. But let me also remind
Colorado has none of that cold.
Yeah. So, yeah. We get the sun, so it's confusing.
If anybody knows winter, it's you guys. But the beautiful thing about winter is it's not just this icy, cold, frigid season. Winter has positive attributes. Mm. Winter is the disinfectant period of the year. Diseases and bacteria die in the ground, and this is why things can come back to life again. Certain insects die off. I mean, it's actually a disinfectant season. And so when I started looking at those seasons in marriage, because sometimes you look at those seasons where I call maybe the seasons where you do feel cold and frigid, you feel disconnected, you feel apathetic, and sometimes that slow, cold frost starts to make you feel like, I don't even know if there's hope anymore. I don't even know if this marriage can be resuscitated. Mm. But what if God is using this season to disinfect, to get rid of all of the unhealthy things and allow you to see them? Mm. They're exposed now. And so that you have to begin to deal with them and heal them rather than just pretend they're not there and cover them up. but now you're faced with all of the things, the hard things that are coming up to the surface, an invitation to heal.
And I love that so much because so often when I'm working with a couple, one of the two comes in individually and they'll say, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to tell them, you know, that this is hurting me. And I love what you're saying because in this season of winter, you know, what an opportunity to bring some of those things up from the place of love in order to disinfect the relationship so new things can grow.
Yes, exactly. And that's the beautiful thing about it is that, like we talked about in the beginning, no matter what season you're in, and even if you're in the middle of winter, there is hope that spring can come again. God designed it for spring to come again. Spring is always an option because we serve a God who takes dead things and brings them to life. And so spring is not just this dream. It is a reality for all of us who take the season of winter and start putting in the action steps. Again, it's all about actions. It's about planting the right seeds. It's about harvesting the ground. It's about harvesting our hearts and getting them ready for what God is going to do. It's about bringing up some of those sins and struggles in me and dealing with them so that my healing begins to overflow into the health of my marriage.
Deborah, I appreciate what you're saying because you're saying really before you're able to get to the practical steps of dealing with those things, dealing with the frost, you're really saying you have to believe that God can do something with that. You're really encouraging a hope. I love James 1:2 that says, you know, when trials come along, consider it an opportunity. Now it says an opportunity for joy, but I think beyond that, within a marriage, boy, when those hard times, when we're in that winter season, there's opportunity there. I'm going to probably, if I really dig in start to look at, you know, what's the root cause and really start to dig in, I'm going to learn something about me. Probably I'll learn something about Aaron. Maybe our marriage, some ineffective pet, something. I'm going to learn something. And I know for me, that's always the hope that I trust God when he says, boy, as you go through these winter, these hard seasons, I'm going to give you something. You're going to learn something. There's an opportunity there.
Wow, what a great conversation. And Deborah makes an excellent point about the winter season really being a time to disinfect your marriage of anything that keeps it from growing.
Yeah, I remember loving her choice of words, the whole idea of disinfecting your marriage, which I think it's really creating then a growth-minded marriage. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a powerful value as we think about what are the things that are important to our marriage. Boy, really thinking through how are we growing both personally and as a couple is so important. So let's talk about creating an environment where both spouses are committed to this personal and relational growth. And I remember, Aaron, my parents went through a really hard season. My dad was really, really sick. It was right before, ultimately, he ended up passing away and going to be with the Lord. But it was a really hard season. They were trying to figure out the best place for him to live, getting treatment for a kidney disorder. And at some point, they even kind of had to live apart. And it really depressed me. It wasn't really their choice, but just circumstantially, they had to be apart. And it really impacted me. I remember thinking, really, this is Gary and Norma Smalley, like the original marriage gurus. And here, possibly the end of their marriage, they're not even able to be together. And again, they figured that out. And my mom was with him as he went to be with the Lord. So that's not the point. The point was that it so discouraged me that I just remember feeling, well, you know, why does any of this matter? And if that's how the experts, if that's how they end their marriage, what hope is there for ours? And I just think Satan really used that, you know, experience that my parents were going through to really discourage me within our own marriage. And I so appreciate you going, yeah, I think this is probably a time you need to go in and talk to a counselor. And that began a journey for me, just using what was going on for my parents as a way to grow as an individual, to kind of work through that grief that I was feeling, that confusion that I was going through, but even, you know, to use it as a way to strengthen our own marriage.
Yeah. And I know for us, we went through a season of growth. I know you did individually, I did individually, as well as that impacted us. And really, we both embraced that idea of when things are hard and we're feeling disconnected, it's time either for one of us to go in or both of us to go in and talk to somebody, and recognizing we're always changing. And so there's always something new to process or to learn, and, you know, as well as learning from the challenges.
Yeah.
And as we go through difficulties, what are we taking away from that? Whenever I have a couple in my office and they talk about a recent conflict, and, you know, often it's driving in the car on the way to therapy. And so I will say, okay, so what did you learn? What went well? What can you do better next time? What didn't go well? And how can you apply that to moving forward? Yeah. So it's just an opportunity. And I love what Deborah says. She says it's an invitation into going deeper.
Well, it's disinfecting.
Yeah.
Because something wasn't working or something needed to change for me. Just at that season, based on what my parents were going through, sort of the disinfecting was even disinfecting the lies the enemy was trying to write, you know, on my brain, on my heart, that, see, none of it matters. Even the experts can't do it. You know, give up. You know, marriage is too hard. Whatever those lies were. But I know that spiritual warfare, that can be an important part of the whole disinfecting thing. Mm-hmm. And I know that we take a look at that. You know, I think for me, another important part is to have a regular check-in. Mm-hmm. So as we make this commitment to grow in our marriage, it's important to check in. This morning, you know, you and I went on a walk together very, very early in the morning.
It was so early and dark.
And
I am not a morning person.
No.
I don't know why I was awake. But Olive, the dog, was happy.
But as we were walking, you made a comment, and I won't share it because we haven't even talked about this. Mm-hmm. But for me, you said something about, well, you should maybe check that out with me. I didn't want to use our walk in kind of this early morning exercise to really jump into that level of, you know, understanding something maybe that's not going right within our marriage. But I wanted you to know that I heard you and that I'm not avoiding that.
And what a better time than to tell me you heard me than on a podcast.
but I did hear you, and I'm promising you that I will circle back.
Good.
Because I think that's a part of what's important, that there are times, like a morning walk, you know, when I'm in the exercise mode and we were having some good discussions. Yeah, that just to me, I just didn't want to get into it then, but it's important to follow up. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just saying, and our producer, Katie, she can note this and ask and make sure I acknowledge, did we have that conversation? How did that go? Because that's that idea of checking in. Mm-hmm. Because I want to be able to check in to go, hey, how are things going between us? What's working? One thing that's working, maybe one area that I can continue to grow in.
Yeah, I interviewed another guest and they talked about the rule of nines, checking in between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Because we do well with a 9 p.m. I don't do so well with a 9 a.m. I wake up at, you know, whenever I wake up, 6 a.m., 7 a.m., and I'm ready to talk, and I'm ready to dig into any issue, any problem. And it's not always going to go well first thing in the morning, especially I've learned that about you, that you wake up not wanting to delve into anything initially in the morning.
Yeah.
So I'll call you at noon from now on.
And say, well, something I've been wanting to share with you.
I've been holding on to it since 9 a.m.
Well, I mean, I think it's fair. I mean, all of us have areas of growth and blind spots, and I imagine there's something that's important for you to have me listen to and to really take before the Lord then, and maybe that is a growth area that I need to pay attention to. So I'm just being honest, going, Katie, our producer, hold me accountable, make sure that I'm doing what I'm saying I'm going to do on this podcast. So, you know, if you want to dive deeper into the different seasons of marriage, then you can get a copy of Deborah's book, Love in Every Season, for a gift of any amount. You know, it's because of your financial support that we're able to do this podcast. So please donate and get that book today.
Yes, and all the details will be in the show notes.
Hey, I'm Bill with this week's word picture. Let's get started. All the good stories, the ones we visit time and again, start with the words, once upon a time. So let's start our story the same way. Once upon a time, not so long ago, the world was exciting and bursting with life. And in a tiny corner of the country, a boy and a girl kissed and said, I do. With that, Herbert and Selmira Fisher started their own Once Upon a Time. Now, many Once Upon a Time stories include dragons or mustache-twirling villains. Not the Fisher story. Their story is rather simple. Every morning, Herbert got up and went to work. Every evening, Mrs. Fisher made dinner. Every night, the Fishers held hands, talked, and said a prayer. Days turned into weeks, weeks into years. Seasons changed. The world changed. Soon there were children and jobs and houses and cars. But every morning, Herbert got up and went to work. Every evening, Mrs. Fisher made dinner. And every night, the Fishers held hands, talked, and said a prayer. 40 years turned into 50, 60, 70, 80. The seasons changed. The world changed. The Fishers changed, but only a little. Mr. Fisher could no longer get up and go to work, but every evening, the couple still held hands and said a prayer. What was their secret to a long, long marriage? Well, it's like the good book says in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. The Fisher's love persevered for 86 years. And then the seasons changed once more, and their love story came to an end. At least this chapter has come to an end. But we can truly say they lived happily ever after. Now it's time to tell your Once Upon a Time story. What seasons lie ahead? Some may be bright and sunny. Others, dark and difficult. You can't choose the seasons, but you can choose a love that is patient, kind, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And you can choose, like the Fishers, to live happily ever after.
Well, I always appreciate Bill's creativity and his insights as we look at God's Word. And, you know, now we're going to move on to our weekly Q&A, and that's the part of the show where we answer your burning questions about marriage.
Please send us your questions. You can click the link in the show notes or go to crazylittlethingcalledmarriage.com and click the button on the side of our show page to leave us a voicemail. And if your question gets answered on our show, we're going to send you a copy of our book, Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage, 12 Secrets to a Lifelong Romance, for free as our way of saying thank you for listening and reaching out to us.
Yeah, and today's question comes from Rennie. So let's listen to the voicemail that she sent in.
Hi, Greg and Aaron. My name is Rennie. I think what I would most like to ask is how do you deal with not liking your spouse? It's hard for me to admit this, and it's more on my side than on his. There are so many things that are annoying, and there are many times where, as I said, especially I am not enjoying being around him. Porcupine is the word that comes to mind. So I would love your input. We are in the Word together daily. We are praying together daily and really making an effort to make our marriage work. And just would love your input.
Mm. I appreciate your honesty and your humility to call and ask that question, because that's a hard question. I don't think any of us dream that we're going to walk into marriage and at some point dislike our spouse, especially if it's over an extended period of time.
Yeah. And, you know, I always say the best place to begin sort of this journey, because Rennie, you're not the only one on this journey. Mm-hmm. And many of us will go through hard seasons where we just sort of fall out of like mm-hmm. with each other. Mm-hmm. And I think as that happens, a great place to begin is to really rediscover, so you can reconnect with His value. Mm-hmm. And so God has placed amazing value, gifts, and talents deep within your husband's heart. Mm-hmm. The more that you can actually call those out, notice them. When we do a marriage event, we call this the cherish list. And so really a cherish list is when you're thinking about what are my favorite things about my spouse, and to where you actually write them down. Rennie, I have the same list on my phone about Erin. It's this long list that I've created about these things that I cherish about her, that I value about her, things that are true about her. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, as mm-hmm. it says in the Bible. And so why reconnecting, developing that friendship, that like, it has to start with the sense of, I value this about you. There's something when you really reconnect with the value that's deep within your husband's heart, but that begins almost like a leaning in, like you're drawn more towards him. So it's not the solve all, but it's a great place to begin.
Mm-hmm. And I would also say it's important to have conversations with him as far as what it is that is annoying. Those are hard conversations. Time and time again in my office, couples will come in and one will say, well, I don't want to hurt his feelings, or I don't want to hurt her feelings. But, you know, you think about it, if you were doing something that was annoying someone, wouldn't you want to know? I would.
I would not.
Yeah. It's all in how you share it and when you share it. And, you know, that I want our marriage to be good. I want to be able to be close. And this is something that's getting in the way.
Yeah.
And I'm just sharing it with you. I can't control what you do or what you don't do, but I want you to know that this is pushing me away. And it makes it difficult for me to lean in. You use the term porcupine. That, yes, it's hard to lean into a porcupine. The thing I do want to say as well, Rennie, is that what amazes me is that you're praying together, you're in the Word together, and you are making the effort, you know, even though things are hard, to make your marriage work. And that's impressive.
And like Erin, you're saying that cultivating that deeper spiritual relationship, I mean, that's going to help with the like. I think in addition to that, some of the things that I think that are important to do is to create, there's some moments that you guys can really start to cultivate as a couple. You know, Erin and I believe in, you need to have a daily check-in, and this is a little 10-minute a day kind of exercise to where you just ask each other, what was the high of your day? What was the low of your day? So we all need mm-hmm. a little check-in each day, because it keeps you current mm-hmm. and up to date on what's going on. And that helps around the liking each other part. Mm-hmm.
And then also, we want to encourage you to have a weekly date. And what this is it means leaving your house once a week together to do something fun.
Yeah.
And protect that time. Do something maybe that you used to do. Most marriages, almost all marriages, I can say, are built on the basis of friendship, unless it's an arranged marriage, which there are arranged marriages. So it's going, what did we do that we actually enjoyed together? Maybe you cooked together. Take a cooking class. Yeah. Maybe you went on hikes and walks together. Do that.
Something
fun. Think back. Yeah, think back to what we once did.
Because when you do some of these fun activities, it creates excitement mm-hmm. in the relationship. Mm-hmm. So here you're spending 10 minutes a day making sure you're staying current and updated. You're doing some things every week that are fun, that are exciting. And then Erin and I also believe making sure that one of those moments that you share is an annual adventure. This is when you're getting out of town. Mm-hmm. You're getting away and you're going on some sort of an adventure. Mm-hmm. And what that does is it breathes life back into your relationship. And so I think friendship, liking each other, all that happens because you recognize what's valuable about each other and you're drawn to that. And you're just doing some things that help to cultivate that sort of relationship.
I love that. So, well, thank you, Rennie, for your question. And look out for your copy of Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. And if you're listening today and have a question for us, please contact us. Click the link in the show notes to leave us a voicemail. Thank you for joining us for Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. We hope that this episode helped you understand what you can do when you and your spouse are going through a rough season.
Yeah, be sure to like, listen, subscribe, wherever you listen to podcasts. You know, we want you to have a seat at the table every week as we help to equip you and your spouse to have a lifelong and satisfying marriage. And we also want to see you grow spiritually, both as individuals and together, so that you can invest in other couples to help them build thriving marriages.
Thanks again for listening. We'll talk with you again next week about this crazy little thing called marriage.
Is your marriage holding on by a thread? For deep hurt, you need deep healing that only comes from the Lord. And you'll find it at a Focus on the Family Hope Restored Intensive in Michigan. Our licensed Christian counselors will help you and your spouse get to the root of your issues in just 3 to 5 days. And it works. 80% of the couples are still married 2 years after attending. Learn more at HopeRestored.com and talk with a trusted advisor. That's HopeRestored.com.